Today's reading is from Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with the all bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. The word of God for the people of God.
Aren't you all excited with this sermon series about stewardship? I was actually serious, not like joking. Yeah. Aren't you excited about today's sermon on tithing? Nope, let's try this again. Aren't you excited about today's sermon on tithing? There you go. All right, amen. You know, I wish I could sing because I would have definitely sang a song during that intermission. I'm so glad that we are here. I just want to give you just a small testimony beforehand. Some of you know I used to pastor for about 8 years before coming here, and I made some mistakes as a pastor. And one of the mistakes I made that I have regretted was, especially when I first started pastoring, I never talked about tithing or money a lot. And as I began to grow in my own ministry and matured my own faith, I realized that that was a growing edge for me as a pastor, that even as a community of faith, our responsibility to give people the whole counsel of God. And it was reminded to me when I was in Atlantic City and one of the members came to me in my office because she had a job but was still living paycheck to paycheck, and sooner or later, she was almost battling homelessness, not because she didn't earn, but because she didn't manage well. And it was so convicting that we had spent every Sunday talking about God's goodness, but we never talked about the responsibility of stewardship. So that was God's way of just reminding me of how important it is to talk about stewardship and to talk about tithing. So I hope you are excited today to talk about tithing. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I just want to pre-warn you that today will be one of interactions. So we're going to see how this goes. Amen? Amen. Amen. God, we are so grateful for who you are and for what you are. We're so grateful for the ways that you show up in our lives, ways that we've never even expected or even imagined. So God, even now, we pray that during this conversation about tithing and stewardship, that we would just be receptive of the call that you have on our lives. So God, we pray that even as this word goes out, that you will till the ground, that you will till the minds and souls upon which your seeds are going to fall. In Christ's name we do pray, amen, amen. Turning the corner from fear to trust. St. Luke's, there is a belief that there is one baptism but many conversions. In other words, even when we publicly profess our commitment to God, there are aspects of our lives that still need to be improved. Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you, but being a follower of Jesus Christ does not magically dissolve our imperfections or transform us into the perfect person or the perfect spouse or the perfect member. There are aspects of our personalities and even certain things about our character that still need to be attended to. In fact, even in the early Christian church, when knights wanted to be baptized, they would agree to hold their bodies fully submerged under the sovereignty of God's water, but yet they would hold their hand and their sword above the water at all times, visually and spiritually signifying, I'm willing to surrender every aspect of my life to the sovereignty of God except this one thing. Everything else can be under God's control, but not even God was going to wield this sword. For every one of us, we have that one thing that we would love to hold above water. But for many people, one of the last places that still need to be held underwater is their commitment to God through their finances and resources. As if to say, God, you can have everything else, you can control everything else, you can transform everything else of my life. But yet I'll keep my resources and my finances above water. And yet it is this very thing that God is trying to address in our text this morning. For God is trying to challenge us to place our whole selves under the supremacy and the sovereignty of God. In our text, we find God's people on a journey. They are still in the wilderness trying to learn how to become a community of faith, and God mentions to them everything such as how they are to worship, how they should handle disagreements, how they should deal with warfare. For several chapters, even beginning in chapter 11, for several chapters, God is instructing God's people how they should ascribe and what they should ascribe to when they get to the promised land. Contextually, this is important because it suggests to them and to us how we handle our finances is just as important as other expectations that God has for his people. So God sets the expectation that when you get into the promised land, take a portion of your crops, take a tenth, somebody say tenth. I told you this is going to be interactive. Take a tenth of what you have and give it to the temple priest. For tithing is simply God giving a tenth or a portion of what you have. Now here's what God requires of us visually. Look at this deal visually to what God has for us. Now this is going to be the blessed side of the room right here. Somebody say blessed. Yes. This is going to be the God side of the room. Somebody say God. You didn't say it like you were. Come on. You didn't say it like you were God. Somebody say God. Yes. Now you got. See. This is what tithing looks like visually. God says these are all of your blessings. And all that I require for you to give back is a portion of what I've given to you. You can keep this to pay your bills, to go shopping, to go to happy hour, to go to the movies, to take vacations, to pay for childcare. You can have all of this over here, and all that I require is a tenth or a portion of what you have. Now, who gets the better deal? The people who are blessed or God who gets the portion? Remember, this is interactive. Who gets the better deal? The blessed people. God says, you can live on all of this, but all I require is just a small portion. A few years ago, we were trying to teach our son Joshua about tithing, and it was around his birthday, and he had received $20 in the mail from his grandmother, and we thought this would be a perfect time to teach a five-year-old how to tithe. So with his $20, we instructed him that we were going to take $2 out of his $20, and we were going to give that in church to teach him the practice of tithing. To which this five-year-old lost his mind, threw a tantrum, and was seriously crying. And his question was, why does God need my money when he already has everything? I mean, it's a good theological question. In many ways, we ask the same thing. God, why do I even need to tithe? What if I don't make enough? What if I make too much? The truth is, tithing is less about what God needs and more about what we need. Tithing is not about God demanding what we should give to God, but tithing is more about what we need, about what we need for ourselves, not what God needs from us. So much so that tithing, you can write this down, tithing is a consistent reminder that everything we have comes from and belongs to God. Tithing is a consistent reminder that everything we have comes from and belongs to God. Tithing provides an alternate perspective of how we view what we have. Now, can't you see why this would be important to a group of people who are in transition from the wilderness to the promised land? Think about what they would have experienced in the wilderness. For 40 years, they would have had these grandiose, miraculous displays of God's provision and direction. For 40 years, God would feed them with manna and quail every day. For 40 years, God would lead them by cloud by day and fire by night. For 40 years, every single day, God would have these clear signs of his presence. But when they get into the promised land, there's no more quail, there's no more manna, there's no more clouds, there's no more fires, there's no more water by rocks. But now when they get into the promised land, now when they settle, all of these miraculous and wonderful signs would no longer be there. Now they would have to work the ground and till the soil and gather harvest every year. That doesn't sound so miraculous. And the temptation for them is the same for us. It's easy to unconsciously take God out of the everyday blessings that we receive. It's easy to see God in the cloud and in the fires and in the manna and the quail and coming from water from the rocks. But can we still see God's hand? Can we still attribute that to the work of God even when you have to till the soil and till the ground? Can we still see God in the everyday mundane activities of life? To know that it wasn't because of the soil, it wasn't because of the seed, it wasn't because of our gifts, it wasn't because of our intellect, it wasn't because of our great decisions, it wasn't because of where we went to school, it wasn't because of the zip code that we grew up in, it wasn't because of who we know or what we majored in, but what we have is simply because of the Lord. And tithing suggests that I have what I have because of God. Not only because of God, but it belongs to God. Because there's a belief that what we have is ours. The money that we have is ours. The financial resources that we have is ours. Can you imagine the temptation to prescribe ownership to the harvest that they had reaped, to the tillage that they had sown, to the seeds that they had planted, to the harvest that they had reaped? Can't you see the temptation that we tilled the soil, we planted the seeds, we reaped the harvest, so this must be ours? There's always a temptation to claim ownership over that which God has graciously given unto us. That's why we call it mine. It's my money, it's my car, it's my resources. We claim ownership to that which God has graciously given unto us. And yet when we claim ownership, there are too many times when that which we claim ownership of often claims ownership of us. That's why when we come to our blessings, it's so easy to write our name on our blessings. This is Javon's blessings. Mindy, you want a blessing? I give you a blessing too. It's so easy to ascribe these blessings to ours. Lord, this is mine. The reason why I have these blessings is because of where I went to school. Lord, this is mine. The reason why I have these blessings, Lord, is because I've worked for these blessings. Lord, this is mine. The harvest, that was mine. The money, that was mine. I was the one that got up in the morning, God. I was the one that got up to class and every day, God, and all that I have is mine. But if all that we have is mine, perhaps that's the reason why tithing is the inconvenience. Because if everything that I have is mine, then that is in some way God requiring us to let go of what we have ascribed ownership to. Perhaps that's why it's so inconvenient, because it feels as though God is asking me for what's mine. It feels as though God is intruding on what I've already claimed ownership of. Perhaps it's so difficult because in the back of our minds, we know that we have worked for this. How can God ask for what is already ours? But perhaps if we looked at tithing a little differently. Perhaps when we look at our blessings, if we see that all of this is God's. All of our money, all of our resources, everything that we have. That's why the Bible says that every good and perfect gift, it comes from the Lord. That God gives us everything, and God claims it as his own. And God simply says, it's mine anyway. But all I ask is for a portion of what's already mine. It's hard to give up something that's already yours. But how easy would it be? And how blessed would we see ourselves to say, God could, if God wanted to, God could ask for it all back. You ever meet people that you give them something and they ask for it back? If they're not laughing around you, those are the same people that ask for something. Because in God's prerogative, if God owns it, if God claims ownership of it, then God has every right. God has every right, every blessing that God has ever given you, God has every right to claim ownership of it and to ask for it back. But that's not what God does. In God's graciousness, in the tithe, we see how blessed we really are and how gracious God really is. Because in our tithing, God simply says, it's mine, but all I want is a portion back. And because God is the source of those blessings, God not only gives us the reminder that everything comes from him, but if God is the source and owner of my blessing, it leads me to respond accordingly. Someone say, respond accordingly. Tithing is our response to what God has already done. Tithing is an expression of God's gratitude for the things that God has already accomplished. And yet God doesn't place unreasonable expectations for his people. God does not demand any more than what we already have. The tenth is a portion of what we already have. God stretches us, but the obligation to give what God already owns, the obligation is never beyond what we have to give. God blesses us and says, give me a portion of what I've already given you. God is never asking above and beyond what we are able to give. And it's helpful in our text to know that this was not just a quantitative demand. God did not want to give them without knowing why they were giving. That's sometimes how we do in church. We ask, but we don't explain why. We teach the act, but not the purpose behind the act. And as they were giving, this is what God says in the verses, as they were giving their tithes to the temple priests, they were told to make verbal declarations about how far God had brought them. Read the chapter again in the verses again. They were to verbally come into the temple and proclaim verbally how they grew into a numerous nation in the land of Egypt. They were to verbally proclaim in the temple how they suffered under the hands of the Egyptians. They were to verbally proclaim Yet when they cried out to the Lord heard their cry. They were to verbally acknowledge out loud how God had brought them out of the Egyptians using signs and wonders and brought them to this place and gave them this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet verse 10 sets the context by suggesting, and now, after we verbally proclaim the actions of God, now we bring the first fruits of the soil that you, the Lord, have given me. As if to suggest that this is in response, my tithe is in response, what I'm giving is in response to the great and miraculous things that you have done. Because here is my expression of thankfulness and gratitude. What I bring to God is a tangible response to what God has already done. Now, let's make an agreement. Can we make an agreement? Can we make an agreement? If God has never blessed you, then you don't have anything to worry about. You can excuse yourself from this sermon if God has never blessed you. If God has never done anything for you, if God has never wiped a slate clean, if God has never answered a prayer, if God has never met a need, if God has never dried a tear, if God has never held back a storm, if you can confidently say that God has never blessed you in your life, then you are freed from responding from a place of gratitude and thankfulness, because the tithe is a response to what God has already done. But if you can confidently say that God has never done anything for me, then you can excuse yourself from the tithe, you can excuse yourself from the obligation to respond in thankfulness. But if God has been good to you, if God has blessed you, if God has opened doors for you, if God has dried the tear, then that means that we must respond to what God has already done. Perhaps that's why God asked for the first fruit, because it's not just a matter of quantity, but it's also of quality. God demands not only the portion, but God wants the best portion. Can I give you the apple application? I like that apple application. Yeah. So here's what God is suggesting. God is suggesting all you have to do is give me a portion, respond in thankfulness with all that you have over here. But let me show you how life works. This is how life sometimes works. Sometimes life, it just happens. I was surprised that worked out well, Mindy. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes life happens, and there's an unexpected emergency with the car that we had to pay for. Sometimes the kids need clothes again after you just bought them more clothes. Then that new movie came out, but now movie tickets cost $1 million. And the concessions cost a pint of blood. But then something happened that you had to catch on a plane because your best friend was getting married and you couldn't miss it. Sooner or later, life just ends up happening over and over and over again. So that sooner or later, what we end up giving God is not our best, but we end up giving God what's left. And here's how we often think. We demand more of God than God demands on us. Because when we give God what's left, when we fall short with God, we don't expect God to fall short on us. We assume that God, even when we're not able to fulfill our obligation, God, we demand and we trust and we hope and pray that God, you will continue to fulfill your obligation. And yet we put more demands on God. We put more demands on God than God ever does on us. How often have we given God what's left, as opposed to giving God our best. Not only is tithing a reminder, and not only is tithing a response to what God has done, but tithing, with tithing, there's also a return. Somebody say return. Here, they stay with me, we're almost done. Because in our text, tithing presents a visual representation of a spiritual practice. Verse 4 gives us an expectation and the difficulty of tithing. Imagine this, as they came into the temple, they were to place their tithes in a basket, and then the priest would take it from their hands. And then they would willingly release it. Somebody say release it. They would willingly release it from their hands. They would bring it in their hands, and then they would have to release it from their hands. Can't you imagine that maybe a few days there was some tugging going on back and forth or some tight grips on many of those baskets? But the case in point is that many of those baskets, they had to have a transfer of hands from their hands to God's hands. And I believe that's the fear of giving. We parenthetically hold on to what we have because either we don't trust the transfer or we fear that once it leaves our hands, it's gone. We'll never see it again. And in many ways, God trusts us with the 90% far greater than we trust God with the 10%. Too many times, God trusts us more with the 90% than we trust God with the 10%. It challenges us to ponder the question, what are we holding on to that God wants to release from our hands? It's not an issue of math, but maybe it's an issue of trust. Do I trust that the hands will use it effectively? Do I trust that it will go to the right things? Do I trust that once I release it, that I will get a return? The fear is that once we release it, that it's gone, we'll never see it again. The fear is that there is no benefit in giving to God. And here's what I've come to understand is that it's not that we're not capable or able. In fact, in 2017 alone, Americans spent $130 trillion just on consumer products alone. We spent over $702 billion on movie tickets and sporting events, over $1.4 trillion on alcohol and spirits, and spent over almost $8 million on groceries. We are very generous to things we assume we're going to get a return from. It just takes a while to trust God's hand on the other end. But why not feed what feeds you? Why not give to the thing that gives the most return? Because most of us expect to receive something from church. In other words, we expect to reap or receive something from church. For instance, we expect to receive something every Sunday when we come here for our worship experience. We expect to receive songs that uplift our spirits and inspire us for another week. We expect a relevant message that speaks to our lives. We expect donuts to be waiting for us when we're done. We expect our kids to receive a high level of care and lessons that mold their faith. We expect to be placed in groups to live out our faith. We expect to receive opportunities to serve that so we can live out our faith beyond the walls of the church. It's a place we expect to receive hope, instruction, guidance, meanings, and teaching. We expect so many things from the house of God. So why not sow into the place where we expect to reap or receive? Why not feed what feeds you? Why not bless what blesses you? Help what helps you. Pour into what is pouring into you. Why not support what supports you? Why not give to the ministries from which you want to receive from? Because when it comes to our finances and resources, we sow and invest and give to many things that will never give the return that God can. We sow in places in which we will never reap, and we reap in places that we have never or sparingly sowed. We give to places from which we will never receive anything of substance, and we expect to receive in places where our giving is sporadic at best. But the book of Malachi puts it like this. The book of Malachi says, bring the full tithe unto the storehouse, so that there will be meat, so that there will be food, so that they can do the ministry. And thus, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, See if I would not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down an overflowing blessing that you won't even have room enough to receive it. You see, when we give, it comes right back to us. When we give, it places a self-addressed envelope with our giving, and our giving is not always financial. Here's what God wants to do. God says, if you would trust me with 10%, if you just trust me with the portion of what you have, and this is the only place in Scripture where the Lord says, test me and try me and see if I can do what I said I was going to do. God says, if you trust me with the portion, I will open up the windows of heaven, and your basket won't be full enough. Your basket won't be large enough. Your basket won't be big enough for all of the blessings that I have for you. So every time that I give, I'm expanding the capacity for God to bless me. Every time that I give, I'm expanding the capacity for God to bless me in ways that I've never even imagined. Because God says, if you would just trust me with the 10%, I will open up the windows of heaven. And that's it, it was supposed to fall off. I will open up the windows of heaven. I'll open up the windows of heaven, and you won't even have room enough. You won't even have room enough to receive it. It may not always come to you financially, but God may bless you with a peace of mind and joy that surpasses all understanding. But all God asks is that if you trust me with this 10%, if you just trust me with a small portion, you'll be blessed in ways that you've never even imagined. Put me to the test and see if I won't pour out a blessing on you that you won't even have room enough to receive it. Amen.